Hello and welcome to this solo edition of the Fit and Feminist podcast with me, Lindsay. This is something that I've emailed out about to my clients this week from reflecting on people worrying that they are not doing enough and thinking that they've got to do something that puts them in misery, pain, hunger, feeling, you know, really not enjoying it. I think the narrative may have been, you know, in the past, if you've done something like Slimming World, Weight Watchers, a 6-week shred, keto, any kind of fad diet where it's been quite extreme and you've been in a very big deficit. If you've always done that kind of deficit, it might, it might feel like when you are doing things that are a little bit more balanced and a little bit more in terms of whole health, you know, that kind of direction, that you sat there going, well, I don't, you know, I'm not hungry, it's not a struggle, I'm not, you know, finding it really hard, I'm not hating every minute of it, I'm actually enjoying it and I'm living my life. That's great, that's good, that's what we want. So I just want to go through some pillars of whole health, because if you're working with me or Lauren or a good coach, then they will be looking at your whole health, not just what does your body weigh, how much body fat have you got, you know, how many calories did you not eat. That's really not what we want for longevity. When we're looking at like your long-term health and your future fitness and strength and bone density and muscle mass and mental health, there's a lot more that we can do that is not about what our body looks like or how much our body weighs. And I think it's really important to move away from putting so much importance on those things when actually other parts of our whole health are really struggling and suffering at the minute, because we underestimate how important they are. So these are in no particular order, but the first one I'm going to start with is your environment. You'll notice that most of these do interlink. That none of the body's systems work independently. So, you know, you might think like, oh, you've got a brain and you've got a heart and you've got a stomach and you've got a digestive system, and then you've got your muscles and you've got your skin and your body fluids and your blood. Well, all of these systems interact all the time. And you have hormones and chemicals and transmitters and neurons and cells that are all talking to each other all the time, and transporters that are sending messages here, there and everywhere. So it shouldn't be a surprise to you that if you are feeling anxious, you may feel that in your stomach, you may feel that in your tummy. It might affect your digestion. You know, if you've had a time of high stress, that's going to impact your energy levels and your reserves, your battery for other things, whether that be social or activity. So just have a little think about these, and I'd like you to just think, you know, how many of these are you doing well, and how many and what areas do you think you might need to spend a little bit more time focusing on for the benefit of you as a whole person? So your environment. There are lots of elements to your environment. So the first one for me would be, you know, what and who are you surrounding yourself with? So you'll notice that when you spend time with some people, they really fill your cup. And then other people, you might be like, oh God, I feel drained. I'm sure we've all been in that situation. And I would encourage you to spend more time with people who you enjoy their company, and it's not always a stress and a drama. You don't need it in your life, basically. Your food environment, that is what you have at home generally, or wherever you work. So I work with a lot of people who have like a cafe at their workplace. They also might work with people who bring in snacks and, in inverted commas, treats and cakes on a Friday and cakes on people's birthdays and things like that. So it's really important that you check in with your food environment. So at home, we have a lot more control. We can set ourselves up for success. We can choose what we buy from the supermarket. And if there are some foods that you have a little bit less self-control around, I mean, I would be working with you to try and help you through that so that you can eat these foods without feeling like, oh, if I start eating crisps, I'm going to eat the whole bag, or if I, you know, start a bar of chocolate, I'll definitely eat the whole bar of chocolate. So, you know, I would be working with you, and I'm sure Lauren would say the same, to find balance around those foods. But initially, if you have a fat loss goal or you're wanting to improve your overall nutrition, not having those foods readily available, packets of biscuits, that sort of thing, can be very beneficial, and including lots of fresh fruit and vegetables and protein sources will really help you on the right path to improving your health and your nutrition and your digestive system. So yeah, checking out at supermarkets and maybe missing some of the aisles out from time to time, especially when motivation and willpower might be low. If you are in a workplace that has, you know, this culture of bringing food in, or the snack shop is generally filled with things that are not really in line with your goals, then what can you do about that? Can you be prepared? Can you take things with you so that you're not tempted, you don't get really, really hungry, and then you end up having something that you didn't really want to have? The other element of our environment is the air that we breathe, where we work. Again, what is that environment like? So we are exposed to environmental toxins through pollution, where we live in the world. So, you know, if you live in central London to if you're living in central Harrogate, that's the air quality is going to be very different. We're also affected by things that we use on our skin, things that we use to clean our homes. And then we will also ingest some environmental toxins from things like fruit and meat, packaging, food that comes out of tins, food that comes out of plastics, things that are sprayed with chemicals, you know, things that have, I would say, like animal products where, you know, they might have had medications and things like that we get exposed to. We can't totally avoid toxins, and I'd like to be really realistic. Some of us will be more driven to try and use like eco-friendly products, or, you know, eat more plant-based. Everybody is different, and there is no judgment here at all on how you choose to live your life and what kind of shampoo you use, etc. But I would definitely recommend having a look at where you can reduce your exposure to environmental toxins. Very important for hormonal health as well. So there are lots and lots of skincare companies now, lots and lots of eco-friendly cleaning product companies and places that you can get things from that will do just as good a job without you having to inhale, ingest, or touch environmental toxins. I would also say, if you can, filter your water and avoid drinking out of plastic bottles if you can. These are, you know, quite simple and straightforward things that can really help you to reduce your what you take in, basically. So the next one, so that is only one of the pillars, your environment, and as I say, it's got different dimensions to it. So physical health is number two. So that is your activity and movement. We all need to move more, and unfortunately life these days is kind of driving us to move less and less. So we've got to really take responsibility for that and try and make sure that we are getting our steps in, doing some movement in a way that we really enjoy. So whether that's a gym class, whether it's a dance class, whether it's yoga, Pilates, whatever it is, getting out on your bike, roller skating, skipping, you know, there are so many ways to move your body, and it doesn't have to be, and it definitely isn't a punishment. I would really recommend finding something, trying different things, and do something that you really enjoy, because you're more likely to keep doing it. if we have a physically healthy body, and we have, you know, a good lymphatic system and healthy blood, like, all of this helps us to fight diseases, viruses, infections, and lots of other health issues. So we want to give ourselves as much option for movement as possible, basically. Exercise is really great for every system of our body. It oxygenates the brain, it helps with digestion, it helps with our bones and muscles, increases our cardiac output, helps with our metabolism and our resilience. So let's keep moving as much as we can. Our physical health is a really, really important foundation for whole health. Number three, mental health and stress management. So again, this is becoming more and more of a focus because we are tied to desks. People are working long hours. People are working night shifts. I think, you know, we're making less and less time for nothing, for downtime, for calm, for leisure, essentially. And some of us, again, will be in a better position if you are retired, if you don't have to work, if you're lucky enough to not have to work, then obviously you're going to have a lot more time to spend doing things for yourself. So if you are short on time, it's about being smart with that and trying to make sure that you are filling up your battery, filling up your own cup, and making sure that your mental health and your stress management is a priority. It's always beneficial if you've got somebody that you can communicate well with. So whether that's a partner, family members, a good friend, somebody that you can really just get those feelings out and talk about, and problem solve with. Again, that's where having a coach is really beneficial. So your mental health can also affect your food choices and habits, which again is interlinked with other elements of our whole health. So it's not something that we just want to be brushing under the carpet. We really want to make sure that we're feeling healthy in our brains, in our minds, in our mindset as well. You'll often find, if you are in a good place mentally, everything else will follow. You're more likely to feel determined and focused and motivated and driven for success. There's a lot of benefits to, and I always feel like it's a cyclone. So either, you know, when we're on the up, like, that spins quicker and in an upward trajectory. If we are feeling down and fed up, it's quite easy for that cycle to go in the opposite direction. Number four is relationships. And again, you know, that will benefit our mental health if we are in a good place with our family and friends and partners. Then we have support around us. It will help with our overall happiness and contentment. If there's not conflict, that makes things a hell of a lot easier. I think we've all been there, again, where, you know, you've had a fallout with somebody, it's upsetting. Again, whether that's a family member, a friend or a partner, it can be really difficult. And then, you know, if we're not sort of dealing with that well, it can again affect our food choices and our desire to do anything helpful for ourselves in terms of movement. It can also affect your sleep, which is the next pillar. So number five, sleep is a massive one, and this is really underrated. I would bet my right arm that you can tell me a time where you've had really, really great sleep and you feel like a brand new person. I'll also bet my left arm that you tell me a lot of times where you've had really inadequate sleep and you feel awful. And if you are accumulating a lot of really crappy night sleeps, you that can really build up on you. And again, that starts to affect relationships, because we get cranky and we're more likely to be irritable and argumentative, and not feel like we're getting the time for us. It can also affect your food choices. We're far more likely to make rubbish, less desirable food choices when we haven't slept well. We tend to go for quick energy foods and you know, carbohydrates will also, you know, after sort of 7, 8 p.m. make choices that don't align with our goals. It can also affect your mental health and your physical health, because you feel so tired, then you don't want to be going out to the gym, or you don't get your steps in and you just want to be in a little slump in your bed. So you see how all of these things do really impact upon each other. So this also ties back to your environment. So you have your sleep environment and your sleep schedule and sleep hygiene. So things like turning off your Wi-Fi, turning off your phone, leaving your phone in a different room, trying to avoid screen time up to sort of 2 hours before bedtime. They're all things that you can do that will really help with getting a good night's sleep and undisturbed sleep. I always find it beneficial, if I've got a lot on my mind, to write a list and get everything out of my head before I go to sleep. I like to have all my jobs ticked off, and then I'm like, right, now I can relax, set the lights dim. So that's another thing that's really helpful, is to just reduce the light by sort of, again, 2 hours before you go to sleep is always a good idea. A nice walk outside, some fresh air after your meal, that's beneficial as well. And or a relaxing bath. Again, you could do some deep breathing, meditation, some journaling, some yoga, all these things that people tend to think like, oh, you know, I'm just not that way inclined. I'm just not that kind of person. It's like, it doesn't have to be spiritual. It can be, you know, you can think of it as a more practical thing. And I don't know anybody that doesn't benefit from including these things in their lives when they do it consistently. Nutrition, number 6, and I'm sure this goes without saying, you've been listening to this podcast for long enough. It's what Lauren and I always talk about, and it's the thing that most of you really need help with. But, you know, we need to have all these other things around us to be supporting our choices with food. And what we eat does matter. So we're not talking about like removing whole food groups or not having any joy or fun foods in there. It's about eating more and less. So more whole foods, less processed foods, more fruit and vegetables, less refined carbohydrates like cakes, crisps and biscuits, more fish and turkey, lean cuts of meat, less burgers and sausages, which tend to be higher in fat, and different, you know, the way that we cook them matters as well. We also want to be included more nuts and seeds and avocados, and then less of our saturated fats like fried foods, cheese and seed oils. You don't have to remove anything completely. I always think, you know, 80% of your diet being whole foods, 20% of your diet being fun foods, or, you know, things that you really enjoy, a little bit of chocolate, a little bit of cake, a pudding once a week, that sort of thing. That really can help reframe, you know, that you look forward to those things, and it's not just, oh, I just have it every single day and don't really enjoy it. It's just a habit. So, yeah. The nutrition, again, you've got the gut brain axis, you've got loads and loads of different axes within the body that all work together. And if you are eating well, you'll find lots of other elements of your health will improve too. Number 7, another underrated one, and that is recovery from exercise, from stress, from injuries, from illness. And it's really important that we give ourselves time to recalibrate. It's really important that we listen to our bodies. And I'm not saying you make an excuse every time you feel a little bit knackered and you go, oh, I don't really want to go for this run, or I can't really be asked to go out, it's cold, it's dark. I'm not saying give yourself an out every time, but if you tune in and you really do feel tired and lethargic and drained and your body's aching and you've been on your feet all day at work, for example, you know, is adding to that stress load going to really be that beneficial? Maybe you had a big gym session planned and actually a walk outside for half an hour would be better for you. You know, maybe you were going to go for a run, but actually you need to do some mobility work and that would be more beneficial for you. So I think, you know, you can always adjust things and bring down that stress load, which we call the sort of cumulative stress load. So that is from lifestyle factors, again, things like dealing with elderly parents, sleepless nights due to very young children, maybe you've got teenagers and exam stress going on at the moment, maybe you've got you've had an illness or you've had an injury. All of these things make our allostatic stress load, which is our overall stress load. It is not just, oh, I'm a bit tired and I've been injured, but I'm just going to crack on anyway. Like, we need to make sure that we're going, like, that's really going to play into how well I'm going to be able to perform and how well I'm going to be able to do and cope with other elements of my life. So I would say, yeah, really just tune into, like, how you feel day to day, physically and mentally, and really think about what is going on in your whole life, not just, I'm just going to keep battering myself in the gym because that's what I do, even though I've got, you know, a poorly family member and I'm having to travel up and down the motorway to go visit them every other day. So exercise is a stressor to the body, no matter how much you enjoy it. I know a lot of people use it to manage their mental health as well. I know it can be addictive for some people, or, you know, we get to this point where we feel like we have to do it because we've got goals and we've got, you know, a fat loss goal or something that we're working towards. And you see other people training nearly every day and posting their workouts on Instagram, and we feel like, oh, I should be doing that. But your life is not theirs and theirs is not yours. And we've all got different amounts of time available to us and different stress loads. So I think, yes, sometimes we're not giving ourselves enough time to mend and adapt and repair and get stronger. So please do make sure that you are factoring in at least 1 to 2 days of recovery time, where at the very minimum, I would be doing something more restorative, and not just absolutely hammering yourself with exercise or hammering yourself with workload, or, you know, just keep going and then crashing. Number 8, and again, this is not meant to be hippy-dippy. I am not religious. I am not extremely spiritual. But our purpose in life, our hope, our optimism, and our feelings about ourselves and the world around us all impact our whole health. I'm talking about, you know, connecting with people and the world around you, connecting with nature. If you go to the seaside, I always feel like when I'm near the sea, that feels really good to me. If I'm in a forest, that feels really good to me. And I can't, you know, you can't really measure that sort of thing, but just being able to take a few deep breaths, and I don't know, this is going to sound really cheesy, but, you know, you kind of hear the waves coming in and going out, and it's really calming for me. I don't know about you. Maybe it is. Maybe you can tell me. Hearing the wind in the trees, it's really calming. Watching birds fly above your head, you know, it just really helps you with that deeper connection to the things around you. It's very, very easy to get stuck out, you know, our head stuck in a phone or our head stuck in a laptop, and, you know, it just removes us from real life. And I would really encourage you to sort of, yeah, get back to basics, really. So we want to be thinking, you know, about the things that ground us. And as I say, that for me is always like my home and my family, my love of my job, and the things that I've just talked about, being in a forest or being by the sea, is really enjoyable and makes me just take a nice deep breath and think, well, put things in perspective, basically. And it helps me to have a much more positive mindset. So, yeah, I'd be really interested, actually, to know what things make you feel grounded. So you can always message me and let me know once you've listened to this podcast. So, yeah, our existential health. I'm just going to review these 8 and you can just say, oh, yeah, that's the one maybe that I think I ought to be working on. I maybe can look at a few things within that factor. So, number 1, your environment. So what and who you surround yourself with. Your food environment. So Are you set up for success at home? Are you setting yourself up to be able to take goal-aligned actions? And also your environment in terms of toxins, the air you breathe, the products that you handle day to day, cleaning products, shampoos, soaps, you know, things that have got things in that might not be that beneficial to our health. Remember, anything that's good for the environment is good for your environment. Physical health, so goes without saying, activity and movement, the health of our physical body. Mental health and stress management, so getting ourselves in a position where we are looking after ourselves properly, we are addressing any issues that are coming up, that we have support around us. Relationships, making sure we have strong relationships and healthy relationships with the people around us. Sleep, massively underrated. Try and get at least 6 to 8 hours a night if you can, and go to sleep at the same time and wake up at the same time most days if you can, and have a look at your sleep hygiene and your sleep routine, your bedtime routine, see if you can make any improvements there. Nutrition. We all know what to do. If I had a penny or a pound even these days with inflation, for every time somebody had said to me, I know what to do, I just don't do it. Eat more veg, eat more fruit. Base every meal around protein, make sure you get your hydration in, limit your processed foods, saturated fats and such, fried foods, takeaways, and you won't go far wrong. Remember that 80-20 rule. Recovery, exercise, stress, injury and illnesses, make sure that we are managing ourselves well and looking after ourselves, taking care of ourselves. And then finally, our existential health. So your purpose in life, your hope and your optimism. Yep, I would really love to hear from you. So these we generally would call like our big rocks. And if you are ticking all of these boxes, essentially, if you are thinking about these principles day to day and trying to improve things day to day, you don't need to go and do keto. You don't need to go and do any summer shreds or cut out any food groups or listen to stupid blokes on Instagram shouting about removing vegetables from your diet or other things that I despair about. You just need to look after these pillars, basically. And if you are looking after these pillars, you will be making progress. I guarantee you will be making progress. And you can look back in 6 months and see how far you've come. Sometimes when you're in it, swimming along, you can't see how far you've gone. And it's not until you're there and you look back and you go, bloody hell, I've really come a long way. So stay positive, keep doing the little things, keep showing up for yourself. Don't do anything crazy. This should not, improving your health and improving your lifestyle and improving the way that you feel about yourself shouldn't be a chore. You're doing it for you, and it actually helps everybody around you as well if you're happier and healthier and feeling good about your actions. It shouldn't be a chore. It shouldn't be detrimental. It shouldn't be miserable. So, I hope that's helped. Thanks for listening.